Leslie FM. Oh yeah, Leslie FM. Oh yes, my friend, I'm here today to talk about Leslie FM, a podcast hosted by Johnny Mac, Mr. Jezalinko, and Dr. Adrian Warman. How cool is that? And if you wonder what the topics be, they talk to world experts and gurus about new technologies. Yes, it's so exciting. Oh yeah, you know it's so enticing. The expert words hold so much weight, they can only be transported by cargo freight. Leslie FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I say ladies and gentlemen, I think we have actually got officially two listeners.
One left.
So we had three. We're back to one again. For the briefest moment, we peaked. Come on.
We had two listeners, and I think, unfortunately, I took an action, which is a death knell of any action, is me taking it. The poor guy, all he wanted was an RSS feed, and I said, yeah, of course, no problem at all, I'll pass it right on to you, no bother. Then just forgot all about it.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, sorry about that. And then he tweeted, said, I'm skipping Hersey FM this week. And I was like, ooh.
Is that what he said?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no way. John?
But I will get him an RSS feed and see if he comes back to us again.
All right. We hope. Well, I apologise to you. If you're listening, John will get on that immediately. Beatings will continue until his morale improves.
Or until the RSS feed finally gets
denied. Yeah, exactly.
I just need to be shouted at more. That's what I need.
Yeah. Well, don't we all? Yeah. Don't we all? Yes. Leadership. That's what you need. Now then. So, welcome to Hersley FM. Are we at number six now?
No, I think we're number five.
Are we more than that?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think we're quite into double figures, but it's getting close.
Oh, fantastic. So, I am Jez Kelway, and with us today is no one. It's just John and Adrian. We're going to do a special this week. We're going to have a discussion forum.
We are.
We've got some stuff, because regularly when we're sort of preparing to record things, we just had chat about random stuff, and we thought, actually, it might be quite interesting just to have a chat around a few things that we've got. So both John and Adrian and myself have got some ideas and some things that we've been reading about that we'd like to share with you and each other. So
And Jess has got no shoes on or socks.
I've got no shoes. I'm technically on holiday from work. We are recording this in the office, but I'm not here. I'm on holiday. So I apologise in advance for any swearing that might occur, because I don't have my work filters on.
No.
So but I get to appreciate the utter dedication.
That's right, absolutely. Well, Hersley FM isn't really work, is it?
No, it's
far too much fun for that.
Barely working related, isn't it, really?
No, brilliant. So, yeah, I've got no shoes. I've got flip-flops on. I've put them back on now, because John's clearly offended by that.
Yes. Yeah. I'll put my trousers back on as well.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind, yeah. I didn't like to say anything. But.
You have no idea, listener, how lucky you are to be a listener.
So we've gone back to podcast form.
Yes, yeah. We don't want that smell, scratch and sniff podcast.
Oh, no. Dear God.
So, Adrian, please bring some sanity and some adult representation back to proceedings, I hope. Can we pass over to you?
That's responsibility and a half, isn't it?
Well, I must admit, I am itching to talk about a new acquisition.
I was going to say, there's a cream for that.
Yeah. And the acquisition is something that I'm sporting on my wrist.
Oh!
This is an LG G watch. It's the Android Wear technology. I indulged obtained one of these. And I have to say, I am absolutely thrilled with it.
Fantastic,
It really is very, very interesting indeed. I'm actually taking it off my wrist now. I'm going to pass it round to the guys.
Oh!
The first thing to observe is how light it is.
It is light.
It looks a little bit...
And
chunky.
Sturdy!
John, stop sitting on it!
You can really hit it off the table countless times. It seems a bit no different at all. That's phenomenal. Shoddy workmanship.
I was actually attempting to give a serious review, but I can see this is
it's getting very
doomed.
It smells lovely.
Oh,
that'll be the rubber strap.
Yes.
Speak now or forever hold thy peace.
Yeah, it's basically voice controlled. There are no buttons on it. There's no speaker. But if you were to say the phrase okay, followed by the word Google, and then a simple instruction such as,
go on.
I don't know, what is the weather in
London? Shall I try that?
Yeah, please do.
I've ended up as a... Okay. No, you it's have, still got
have,
the clock.
Yeah, you have to say, okay, Google.
Okay, Google. It's doing it. It's doing it. Sorry, it's now Googling, okay, Google. Okay, Google. I can't think of anything. I've stalled. No, hang on. I've got one. Oh, this is quite clever. Okay, how do I reset? This is...
Okay, so if you swipe to the right, it...
Google Battlefield Battle Loggers.
So what it will do is...
Oh, it's Googled Google again.
Yeah, it will Google...
Battlefield Battle Loggers.
So it uses a Bluetooth connection to talk to the mobile phone and does a Google query. If it's a query that it would be able to answer in a useful fashion, such as taking you to a YouTube clip or something like that, then it would open it on the phone.
That's brilliant. Ooh, it really is. It really is good. Good.
Yeah. It's got all of the normal things you'd expect from a watch, but you can ask it to navigate. You can ask it to set an alarm. You can...
Jez Kelway.
You'd have to say something like, OK, Google, Jez Kelway.
It says you can just go away. Appropriate.
Have you pre-programmed this?
This is fantastic. Yeah. No, seriously. I'm sorry, it's not excellent podcasting stuff, but seriously, this is amazing.
It really is.
This is brilliant fun. And I can see all your notes here of your steps today. You're behind on your steps, Adrian.
I have not been for the lunchtime walk.
You're unbelievable. Oh, and it swipes to the left and the right, and you've got date and time and mute. And wow, dude, that is a lovely bit of kit.
What's interesting is it's changed the way in which I'm using the phone, in that I'm not really using the phone at all now.
Wow.
Because all of the useful... Any notification that would normally come through on the phone comes through on the watch instead.
So how long before I can take phone calls on that and look like I'm a member of a SWAT team?
Not quite, because there is no speaker to play back to you.
But if you hold it up to your ear, I can pretend.
We can read your email.
The president is secure.
Yeah.
It'd be brilliant.
Yeah. Battery life is excellent.
That was going to be my question, actually. Yeah.
I normally have it in screen off mode, so it's not showing the time all the time, and that does make a big difference. And I'm reckoning on about 48 hours continuous usage minimum without a recharge.
That is not bad at all.
If I switch it off at night, because I'm asleep anyway, then you would easily get 3, maybe 4 working days out of it without any change.
That is very cool. It's not going to be long, I think, before you'll get a camera in it.
Yeah.
You'll get your phone in it. I mean, I was joking earlier, but in reality, you can just see immediately that when it gets simplified to that level, everything's going to be worn on your wrist.
Big convergence.
Very cool. Yes, very cool indeed.
There's already been situations where I'm in a meeting, it gently vibrates to let me know that a text has come through, I can read the text from the watch, I can reply yes or no from the watch, or I could actually open up the text on the phone and
interact. And it looks like you're spending a really long time telling the time.
Yeah. It does.
Brilliant.
Yes.
So appropriate for me.
Making a real point by staring at my watch.
How long is this meeting going to go? Okay, Google, how much more for this meeting?
Yeah. How long? What's my life expectancy, and is it within the parameters of this meeting?
When will this meeting end? Oh, damn it.
That is cool. And that's an actual bona fide here's the FM purchase, though.
Yeah. That is nice work.
Yeah. So thrilled a bit with that.
Forefront of technology, Adrian. Nice really work, too. Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. John,
The wrong trousers.
And so you're wearing trousers, which is a good start.
I have them on today. So, a nice bit of news. The University of Leicester, students from the University of Leicester have come up with a working prototype of Wallace and Gromit's wrong trousers, which allows you to walk up and down the walls and ceilings. Amazing. So it uses suction, like a vacuum cleaner, to keep you on there. And incredibly, it will only suck one leg at a time, which I suppose is fairly sensible. Otherwise, you'll be able to move at all. So they have created it. It works. There's 20 minutes worth of life because it's got a rechargeable battery. But using these trousers, you will now be able to walk up your own walls and ceilings.
These are actually full-size wear-on-your-legs trousers.
Proper trousers. Real, proper trousers. You can wear them and wander around in them.
So we could theoretically dance to Lionel Richie's Dancing on the Ceiling in a literal fashion.
That must be why they created
not
them in
figuratively,
the first place.
No. Ooh, what a feeling when no. you're dancing on sea. I could actually be upside down, feeling probably quite sick.
Yeah.
With all my change falling out of my pockets and stuff. Literally dancing on the ceiling.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be done.
Wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't we do that?
Slip out of the trousers, though, if you were upside down.
Braces, mate. Braces, like
he did.
Like Wallace.
Yeah. Like he did. Exactly. Oh, my
God. What braces are for.
They think of everything, don't they?
Or an incredibly tight belt, but I'm not sure how that would work out.
Probably.
Actually, did you notice on the original movie that the trousers themselves did look like some kind of prototype Dalek architecture?
I did notice that. Oh, blimey. So,
can you imagine that? Oh. Genuine Dalek trousers.
Next is hover boots.
Think of the applications of that.
It is, and it does. Wallace, so they've designed some actual.
If I could imitate a cricket, I would. I can't think of. When would you use them?
Window cleaning. Cobwebs.
You'd have to,
Robbing banks.
That is true.
Exactly. Spying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, for anyone who is a 2000 AD fan and a Kevin O'Neill fan and a Nemesis the Warlock fan, Termite, which is Earth in the Future,
right?
Because of space constraints, people did walk around the floors of the series.
Yeah, but it wasn't wearing magic trousers, was it? Maybe it could be a quite elaborate and expensive punishment for small children being naughty. I'll put you in the trousers and you'll be stuck on the roof for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah. A whole order of magnitude more tormenting than sitting on the naughty step.
Precisely, yeah. Mm. Upside down, blood rushes to the head, not very comfortable at all.
Mm. Yeah, so that was my piece of alarming news.
That is good. So it gives me hope, right? Because there was a bit of an internet campaign. There's even a Twitter ID associated with this. But the film Back to the Future 2 featured hoverboard skateboards, right? And being an avid longboarder myself, I'd love to have that technology, but they are working on it. Yeah. So hopefully, if they've managed to create the wrong trousers, we could have hoverboards. They could exist.
I guess you could if it was in a contained environment, because all you'd need really is a repelling magnet, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And
only going sterile will be in the consequence.
Well,
all of mankind would probably rejoice. But
there's no problem, because you've already experienced the greatest joy a man could ever know, which would be on the hoverboard.
Totally worth it.
Sign me up.
Adrian's not signed up for that at all. He's not agreeing with that.
Yeah, quite. Yeah. I think the best description is perplexed.
Perplexed. Would this be a good time?
We could, Adrian. Yes. Now, in a prior podcast, you ventured that you bought a new Blu-ray player.
I asked for some guidance.
What? So the world has been on tenterhooks.
Yes.
What did you go for, man?
Okay. So what I did was I actually obtained the complete Matrix trilogy DVD,
so you went for that, yeah.
Which
well
was
done.
Thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't actually watched that yet, because before I did so, John was kind enough to lend me a Batman DVD.
Oh, yes!
Not just a Batman.
No!
Not just, but part one of The Dark Knight Returns.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh.
Now, I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Ah,
well
good.
Done.
I really did. Now, I'm an average fan of Batman.
Yeah.
Seen some of the original TV series.
Yep.
Seen some
Adam
of
West,
the more
Legend.
Recent films. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Christian Bale. The Christopher Nolan trilogy.
Absolutely.
Seen the Tim Burton ones?
Yes.
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 Michael Keaton, surprisingly good Batman. He was a better Bruce Wayne than he was a Batman.
Yeah,
anyway.
So.
Sorry, you're into my territory
No, it's absolutely fine. But anyway, yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was expecting it to be, how can I put it, a straightforward animation romp, for want of a better phrase.
Oh, no.
But you're sucked into the characterisations. Mm. You forget that it's an animation. That there is a lot of emotional intensity there. That the characters, the qualities of the characters, the inner turmoil, the angst, for want of a better phrase, that's really come through.
Yeah.
So, yes, I enjoyed it. It's not a childish animation at all. It's got a 15 certificate, and I think it earns it.
Yeah,
I'm really pleased to hear you say that, because I am a huge graphic novel fan and fan of the genre, and have grown up with and always loved Batman. The novel, the graphic novel in question, is The Dark Knight Returns. So you haven't seen part two yet, so I'm not, and we would never spoil anything knowingly on this show. But I am able to say that I think The Dark Knight Returns was the quote unquote comic that revolutionised the genre, right?
Yeah.
What it does is looks at Batman and his existence and all of the world around him in a much more deeply psychological fashion. So it started, people have likened it to going to the dark side or whatever. Yeah. What it did was turned it into an adult observation and allegory of society. It made it a much, much more powerful medium. Because it's got a smaller audience, the expectations are much lower, and they can really be entirely creative with the genre. And Frank Miller was one of the first guys to really take that up and really take up the baton. And The Dark Knight Returns is an absolute must have, along with Watchmen and V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
Fantastic movies have been made about them, notably because the stories are so powerful that you can actually make a decent movie. But this, as an animated feature, is on the money. It really is. As an animation of a graphic novel, I think they really nailed it. I agree with you.
It's so faithful as well, to the style of the animation, to the graphic novel. It's absolutely bang on. And there are bits in there, say for example in the graphic novel, in part two, when you get it, you'll see this portion. And it's probably my favourite bit. There's a bit...
Spoiler alert? Or you got to be careful here, man. We should wait for him to see part two.
Yes, I won't give away the context.
You can't, please don't.
But there's a bit in the graphic novel where he gives an awful lot of his thoughts around a particular scene where Superman's involved. And they don't get on. They don't get on. Yeah. And there's a whole huge monologue where he's describing these kind of weapons, what they're doing to Superman. And he's kind of a glee. And you can't have that monologue in an animation, in a film. But they capture it with a smile.
That's brilliant.
And anyone who's read it, when you see the expression, all those things just become boomf in your face. Absolutely get that. Did it so well.
Oh, they have. And it's always a dangerous thing because, this is to my mind, but I think it catches it. In movies, you've got that visual representation. You've got sound, you've got excitement, you've got pace. In a novel, it's all what conjures up in your head.
Yeah.
And you can always understand what people are thinking. Right? So you've... Films, you can't. It's a lot harder to intimate subtleties of thought process without a narrator or a monologue or something like that, right?
Exactly.
So, what the graphic novels do is match the two genres to me. Mm-hmm. You get the visual impact alongside having speech bubbles and reactions and stuff, so you can understand what people are thinking about a given scenario.
Yes.
And I think this, they tried very, very hard and were very successful at capturing thought bubbles in what is ostensibly a film.
You're right, because effectively the context bubbles would be the role of a narrator in a film.
Precisely, yeah. So in Watchmen, there's actually a narrator. I've got the animated graphic novel.
Yeah.
And it's quite weird because it's a male narrator and he does a female voice. And so it's a bit weird to get a hang of. Once I got the hang of it, it's beautifully done. It's a very different approach.
Yeah.
They literally animate each cell of the graphic novel. So, it's a different approach. But this is an actual animated feature. It's proper animation. I think they were very, very good.
What I liked about this was, because it's a two-parter, they could have left the end of the first part on a kind of a tenterhook, where the film wasn't fulfilled, the promise wasn't fulfilled. You watched it and go, well, and now I've got to see what happens after this. They end the first part really well. There's a conclusion to the first part, and then they open up the second part. And I thought...
Yeah, it was very, very satisfying when I watched it, because it didn't feel like a cliffhanger, and yet you definitely felt you'd like to see
there's
what
more.
Happens.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah. Good.
And the second part, I think, actually, is very, very
it's
good.
Very fulfilling.
It is very fulfilling.
Oh, brilliant. So did it do justice to the Blu-ray?
That I don't know.
Ah.
Because, obviously,
no
as an animation... You're not going to get the comparison.
So
having
still
said
waiting.
That, I have watched a little bit of the first Matrix movie.
Oh, it's classic.
And I've got that on DVD and Blu-ray. And you do notice the difference. You really do.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Red pill, blue pill.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Oh, well, report back when
Will
you
do.
Have
Will do.
On your system, because I'm thoroughly chuffed to bits with mine. Lord of the Rings trilogy was amazing. Mm. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
So brilliant, thank you, Adrian. That's
thank
a
you.
Little segue there. So I had something to add today, and this is goes to the discussion point.
Tell.
So, question posited on a social media forum that I frequent regularly, and the question was: will video games ever become so realistic that players will suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder? Now, I'm an avid gamer. You may have understood that. Myself and John often talk about games that we play, Xbox, whatever, PC games. And I've played... My dad bought me... he worked for the BBC. And when the BBC Micro came out, the BBC offered this special deal to BBC employees that they could get one like at really, really super cut price. So I was able to get a computer very early. It explains a lot of it. You know, I learned about coding, but I played Meteors, Chuck Egg, Donkey Kong,
Elite,
Twin Kingdom Valley. Elite. I wasn't allowed to have Elite because it was too expensive. And I don't mean that in a boohoo self, you know.
We
just couldn't afford it. I went for Way of the Exploding Fist. I went for because I wanted the arcade experience. Now, had I known what Elite would offer, I'd go back and tell my young self, no, don't get that, get Elite.
Yeah.
But no, I got Way of the Exploding Fist. I mean, I don't feel too bad because I've had amazing computer game experiences ever since. You know, the Mass Effect is absolutely outstanding. But yeah, I did miss out on that little tidbit because it's a classic. But I did have all the other... but yeah, I've played games since, you know, I was 8 years old. And loved every minute. And I've never not played games. And I've always been a big fan of the next... contextual growth of games. So it went to games where you used a mouse, you know, Dune 2, you got these real-time strategy games, and Syndicate, and all these just amazing games on the Amiga. That was fantastic. And then moved to Command & Conquer on the PC, and then you started to get first-person shooters, like Doom, where you begin to move around, and then you started to be able to use the mouse to look around a 3D environment, like Quake, you know, then Unreal Tournament was a biggie because I started online modem dial-up tournament play, so we took part in some of the tournaments in the UK. We went to Newbury Racecourse and did like two or three weekends where we were just massive thousand people playing network games in
Big
Bell. Absolutely brilliant. To now where it's all joypads and Xbox 360, and I will be making the transition probably to a PS4,
but
you'll hear all about that in a future episode, I'm sure. But when you think about how hyper-realistic games are getting... Now, there was a brilliant game called Alien versus Predator when it came out on the PC. And me and my mate Tony used to sit in his house in Bournemouth, switch all the lights off, right? And this isn't a romantic thing, trust me, right? So there'd be no mood music. We'd just sit next to each other on these PCs playing... like a coupe hacked version of Alien versus Predator. Now you can imagine the context, right? You're a marine, you've got the motion sensors just going in the corner, right? And you just hear, and both of us are like, what's going on? And we're absolutely crapping ourselves, like, I mean completely, just absolutely bricking it.
That was the best version
It was amazing
ever.
One of us would get killed as inevitably you get jumped by a bunch of aliens, you're like, oh god, just spray and pray, oh my god, and then one of us would go down, and usually in this kind of cooperative scenario, myself or Tony would be like, yeah, I'll just carry on, just catch me up. So you go back to the respawn point and you'd have to run just to catch up to get any kills. In this game, we would run and say, no, I'll wait for you, don't worry. And we'd run and hide under some stairs and just go, no, I'm over here. Where are you? I'm over here. And it just, you get these fantastic scenarios. And they're so imprinted on my memory. You know, one time we spent 15 minutes planning a strategy because something blipped up 25 metres ahead.
Yeah.
And we planned a strategy of how we were going to go and do it, and we calmed ourselves down and went, right, you're going to go that, and we had it planned. We opened the door and we went inside, and it was a flapping door in the wind, right? And we'd spent 15 minutes and we eased up, and then we moved into the room and down out of the ceiling came an absolute boatload of aliens. We were like, oh my god, it was unbelievable.
Such a good game.
So it's left a very indelible imprint on my psychology, right? Because and it's a very pleasurable one, right? But with the advent of Oculus Rift, right, where you've got what I would call hyper-real environments, right? And they're only developer kits, but people are genuinely... It's so immersive, you forget that, you know, I've seen videos of people falling over.
Motion sickness.
And I mean, it's just... And I'm worried about it for motion, but whichever way, it's not a huge leap to think that this could cause some kind of stress disorder out of the body.
Well, in fact, funny you say that, I mentioned Oculus Rift and AVP. The newest version of AVP, it's not out yet, but it's coming down the pipe, supports Oculus Rift. And they had a journalist play it.
Did they?
Yes. Wow. And there were areas in the game that he refused to go into because quite literally it was so immersive, because an Oculus Rift, you can't look up, well, you can look away from the screen, wherever you look, there's something else there waiting to get you. And there were bits where, actually, I don't think I want to go in that room. Mm. I think I'll go over here where it's nice and safe.
Yeah, I'm just going back to the start.
And before I forget, I must mention this, as a complete opposite, I did purchase, like a fool, when it came out, Aliens versus Predator Colonial Marines.
Oh, you poor thing.
Oh my god, it was like going into battle with a crack team of Frank Spencers just running around after. There were bits of the game, and it was suspense filled, but for the wrong reasons. So you'd be
what are my idiot teammates going to do next?
There's one bit where you've got teammates, and your mission is to try and get through this compound by using your blowtorch to get through doors.
Yeah,
and you get through, and he goes, you just got a Tom at the edge of crying, running after you. Mm. And there's a bit where the guy will just get in between you and the door, and you go, you can just move out of the way, because he's, no. I'll just stay here. And you think, I can't get to the door. Yeah,
that
is a problem.
Well, that sucks to be you. But have you noticed you're between me and the alien? Harsh life, man.
So you can't actually complete the game, because one of your own players is there just there to trip you.
That reeks of the rush to completion.
Doesn't
scenario
adjust?
That plagues so many games. Yeah. They don't actually finish it properly. Mm. I just don't understand that.
No.
But, yeah, a big bummer. But you're right. So I think yes is my answer to do you think games will cause post-traumatic stress disorder? Because it's not like they're not addictive enough already, but I mean, that would be
my son has
bonkers.
Got an Xbox One.
Oh, nice.
He has just got hold of the Forza Motorsport. And I saw him watching that, and he was sitting down in front of a perfectly good HDMI TV. Nice speaker system, same one that I use for the Blu-ray discs, and I was watching him play this, and it was incredibly immersive just watching it as an observer. Now I remember the original Doom when it came out, and looking at the picture quality of that compared with something like Forza Motorsport 5 now, I would go further and say, not only do I think it likely that something like PTSD will become a problem, I'm surprised it already hasn't.
Yeah, and I think maybe nominally it has, we're just calling it something else. You know, the gaming addiction, I mean, gaming addiction's been around since Tetris, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, is that a form of post-traumatic stress disorder? You know, pulling yourself away, that addictive quality, your life is being completely changed by an upheaval caused by the fact that you're playing this game. Absolutely. Yeah.
At what point does hyperrealism become effectively indistinguishable from everyday?
And that's my worry, right? Yes. Is that we're doing that thing where we're just barreling towards something without really thinking it through. You know, nobody ever seems to stop to question whether or not we should be doing something whether or not
we can.
Mm. Oh no, we can create this unbelievably immersive environment. So that's what we're going to do.
Yes.
Okay. And I love technology. I love gaming. I'll be watching carefully on Oculus Rift. I suffer really, really badly from motion sickness. I get it playing Mario Kart. I have to go and stand in the kitchen and get a breath of fresh air every 20 minutes until I get used to it. Mm. Really badly. I go green. It's quite funny for my friends, not for me.
No.
but it's the way of things. So that was my interesting tidbit.
I think there's an opportunity there, though, as well. Because at the moment, we've got working environments where we have to come to a certain place and interact. Because collaboration over the net is good, but it's still not quite as good as being in the same place together.
Mm.
Maybe that's going to change. You know, maybe that will change. Maybe you can switch locations by just donning an Oculus Rift.
I mean, it's Asimovian, isn't it? When you went, you sort of went out into the Spacers Guilds in the Asimov universe.
Yes,
they all lived in palatial mansions on their own. And they interacted by a huge walls of what was a TV screen.
Yeah.
So you effectively felt like you were in the same room, but you never actually touched anyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of stuff and the technology. So I mean, that to me is where we're headed.
Yeah.
And so I've got this horrible image of a George Orwellian 1984 world coupled with Asimovs only communicate through TV screens. It's like, But yeah, I'd agree. You know, it's, well, the future's now.
We're almost there. It's we just are. That the TV screens aren't TV screens, they're all mobiles. Mm.
Absolutely. Well, if you look at the Kinect technology that comes with Xbox One and you know, Microsoft's acquisition of Skype and all that sort of stuff, suddenly you are there, right? Me and my mate Tony always talk over Skype. We have done for years. You know, and we make sure that the screen isn't just my face, it's the whole room. So I could see the dogs and I could chat to Tony's girlfriend and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was pretty good. When my brother was in Paris, we did it, we Skyped a lot. I agree, I think we're there. And with the size of TVs now, it's not long before you've got a wall in your lounge where it'll be a TV screen.
Oh my goodness me, I remember reading about the I can't remember what company did it, but they had a prototype of a very, quite grainy, black and white moving image within a contact lens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah, so there's no colour, but it's black and white. It's
Deus Ex.
Imagine that. You could literally switch to an environment you wanted to. It'd be just fun.
In the original Total Recall film with Arnold Schwarzenegger, there's one point...
See you at the party, Richter.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. There's a sequence fairly early on where he's having a meal and there's a TV display.
Yeah.
And if you actually look at that, the TV that he's looking at is no bigger than the sort of thing you can buy in your local high street right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And probably.
And it's a wall of the apartment, isn't it?
Yes,
and
that's right.
You know, then he switches out and he's in this hugely industrial complex.
Yes.
You know, and that's just like, but he's got like the screen of, you know, being in the middle of the countryside.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that film.
That was a good
2 weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks.
So, quick question then. At the end of that film, was it real, or was it his kind of dream?
Ah, see, yeah, the bit. Well, I've seen the remakes, actually quite good. I don't often go for those, it's got Colin Farrell in it.
Yes.
I think it's actually a fair approximation. They went a bit more for the megalomaniac angle, and it's got what's his name out of Breaking Bad.
I'm struggling to remember. I know the film you mean.
I've got Kate Beckinsale in it. Does that jog your memory? Because it's
well, no.
Jessica Biel's in it. It's not Bill Nighy. It's I can't remember the name. Is the guy from the lead from Breaking Bad?
Brian. Somebody.
Yeah, from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. Yes.
So he's the the main bad guy.
I must watch it again.
It's worth a watch. It's good fun. It's good entertaining popcorn movie.
So at the end, is it real or is it his fantasy?
Well, this was the thing about Philip K. Dick. You could never really tell.
Mm.
It was beautifully written that you were never quite sure the extent to which it was reality.
There's a bit at the beginning which you kind of miss. It's a throwaway line by one of the technicians when they're about to inject him with a thing. They go, oh, being a spy, interesting. And then they plug him in.
Yes.
And then you think, but then of course he is a spy. And you wonder.
There's another similar sort of thing in The Matrix. And there's the bit, again, near the beginning when Neo is in his room. He's just woken up and there's a tap on the door, follow the white rabbit. And he opens the door. And if you actually listen to the lines that each of the actors say, every single one of them is a prediction of what's going to happen in the rest of the movie.
Really?
Every single line. Yes.
Right, I need to rewatch.
For example, one of the characters who's there to make the purchase from Neo says, "You're my own personal saviour, man."
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, so the one.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think the first Matrix movie is a sci-fi classic.
Yes.
Just brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, cool. Good discussion.
Rewatch that.
I'm going to have to rewatch that again. Mm. Yeah. So you've got two films to watch now.
I have. Oh. My shop report. It's now been witching on for ages, haven't we? Okay, Grant. Well,
we should probably wrap up then. Yeah, in that case, I think that was a long. We might have to do some editing there, but whatever. Thank you very much for listening. If you made it this long, this was hopefully not a one-off. I've quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So all that remains is to say thank you. We always want your feedback. If you've got requests,
definitely,
if you want
feedback,
to talk about anything that we've talked about, or request links,
recommendations for good Blu-ray movies.
Yeah, no, that would be good. Yeah, recommendations for movies would be great.
Could we read it off a novel each and discuss it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Recommend some graphic novels? Yeah, that'd be very good. That sounds like an excellent idea. Yeah. I've got a very personal message to my friend Tony, who's very close companion died at the weekend. So condolences to you, and I hope you feel better soon, mate.
Fair play.
On that note, thank you very much, and we'll speak to you soon.
See you next time.
See you. Bye.
Toodaloo.
Johnny Mac, Mr. Jezalenko, and Dr. Adrian Warman, best writing technology, like a colossus. It's Hursley FM.